Take your Bibles this morning if you brought a copy of the Word of God, and let's turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts this morning, Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27, and we're going to look at a passage here that I trust will be a help and a blessing to each of you. Acts chapter 27, and notice with me now, if you would, at verse number 22. The Apostle Paul here in this context is speaking. He, in the context, is a prisoner himself. He is on board with 275 other prisoners. And so now we come to verse number 22, and he says, "Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." And now, Father, thank you for your word. Knit it to our hearts. Help us to be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen.
Was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It made my heart in love and wrote my name above, and just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cries, and he will answer by. Feel a little prayer wheel turning, and you know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Sometimes my past seems drear without a ray of cheer, and then a cloud of doubt may hide the light of day. The mists of sin may rise and hide the starry skies, but just a little talk with Jesus clears the Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cries, and he will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer wheel turning, and you know a little fire is burning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. I may have doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears, but Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, and he will answer by and by. Now when you feel a little prayer wheel turning, and you know a little fire is burning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad that we can have a conversation with the Lord in prayer? Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Have you ever weathered a storm? You don't have to go very far in history. We just weathered one this past week on Wednesday. And praise the Lord, we made it through. And we, believe it or not, have actually been through worse, right? As far as when it comes to the weather. But it could be this morning that in your life you have weathered family storms, you have weathered financial storms, marital storms, health storms, or maybe some other kind of storm that you can think of that you have weathered, you have faced it, you have made it through, you have come through on the other side. Storms were nothing new to the Apostle Paul. He faced all kinds of storms. This is one of those epic storms that the Apostle Paul faced as a prisoner. We find, beginning in verse number 1 of this passage of Scripture, where it gives us some insight of where he is, what he's doing, where he's going, and why he is in the storm. And this morning, I want to help you to weather storms in your life, because storms are going to come. The Bible says, man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. So we all face storms. Either you're in a storm or you're going to go into one soon. You don't know when, but when it comes, you're going to be able to take what you hear this morning and let it be a help to you to weather that storm as Paul weathered this particular storm that he was in. We notice beginning at verse number 1 of chapter 27, the Bible says, "And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius." Now, underscore his name, because we'll come back to him later in the message. He was a very significant man in this account. A centurion of Augustus' band. And so then you go through this chapter, and we're not going to go through it verse by verse, but you'll find in the context that Julius then allows Paul for a brief moment to spend some time with some friends. You pick that up in verse number 3 and following. And so he spends some time with them, and then the Apostle Paul had realized that while he was on ship, where they were headed, and he gave his advice, "Men, basically, I do not think that this is a good route for us to go. You really need to avoid going that way." They did not listen to Paul. After all, Paul was what? A preacher of the gospel. What did a preacher of the gospel know about seafaring? What did he know about being on a ship? Who is he to tell them where to go and what to avoid? So they did not take heed to his advice. But we find in the context then, beginning at verse number 9 and following, that these men did encounter a great nor'easter. And we find in verse number 14 that it had a name. Look at it if you would. It says, "But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon." What a name. But it simply meant it was a huge nor'easter. Our country just recently was hit with a nor'easter. Some people on the East Coast had experienced that. Our country has been known in history about encountering one of those. In fact, there was a book and a movie written by the same account. Some of you might be aware of it, called The Perfect Storm. And I had watched that movie, and it was very interesting. And 100-foot wall waves and so forth. Huge, but it was a compilation of several factors coming together that made it such a historical storm. It was the perfect storm. Well, these men are in a, if you would, a perfect storm. They are facing it. And you'll find now in verse number 20 that it was also made more difficult because the sun nor the stars for many days did not appear. I don't know about you, but I love to see the sun. I was told over 30 plus years ago when I started pastoring in the state of Michigan that Michigan is the second cloudiest state in the nation. Why? Because we're surrounded by the Great Lakes. I grew up in Wisconsin, well, at least my teen years in Wisconsin, and we'd have a similar kind of weather, but at least you would see the sun. Sometimes in Michigan, you wonder, does the sun ever shine here? But nonetheless, think about being a prisoner. You're out on the sea. There's no stars. There's no sun. It's just like darkness all around you. And you're wondering, am I going to survive this? So beginning at verse number 33 and following, the Apostle Paul then gives some words of encouragement to these men. He wanted them to eat, for instance. For he says in verse number 33, "And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, 'This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting. having taken nothing. In other words, you haven't eaten for 14 days. Men, it's time you eat. Verse number 34, wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. Paul is displaying confidence in this moment of crisis to the rest of these prisoners. Now, notice this goes back to what we had read earlier in the context where he said in verse number 22, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you. Not a one of us is going to die on this trip. Not a one of us is going to die in this storm. We are going to make it. And it wasn't that Paul was just this great overly optimistic man. It was because he had a strong confidence in God. Look what he says in verse number 24 or verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me, which was what? That you are going to go to Rome and you're going to appear before Caesar. That is going to happen. God told Paul that was going to happen. So Paul, as he's talking to these prisoners, men, you guys need to eat. Not one of your hairs is going to be lost. You are going to survive this storm. And Paul's walk with God gave him the confidence to deal with this crisis. Now tune in real closely to what I'm about to say. In a crisis, we may be the only ones to lead. Think about that. Paul had great confidence in God, great faith in God, even though all around him it looked like, we're probably not going to make this. That's what the other soldiers thought. But Paul stood up and he led and he says, men, we are going to make it. God told me so. We are going to make it. And Paul stood up and he led in the crisis. Have you ever had to lead in a crisis? I think about how just 2 years ago, many pastors like myself were challenged to lead in a crisis. I mean, we were facing all kinds of decisions from the standpoint of, do we shut our church down or not for a time? And all of those kinds of decisions. Then if we do, when do we shut or when do we open back up? And then when we open back up, do we wear masks or not wear masks? I mean, things that you never thought of in ministry that you would ever have to deal with. Pastors 2 years ago were dealing with those very kinds of issues. And sadly, believe this or not, 2 years later, there are some churches, not many, but there are still some churches who are satisfied doing Facebook only. And I can't help but believe that the church is to come together, that we are to meet together. Facebook is a church. Now, I get it if your health is not good and you've got to, and I'm glad that we have the opportunity to reach people that way. But nonetheless, I think about when crisis come your way, and they will, then will you be able to step up and lead in that time through the crisis? Paul was able, not because Paul was such a great leader, but it was because Paul had great faith and great confidence in God. So we find then in verse number 38, pick it up there with me if you would, and when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. Oh, can you imagine doing that, Tracy? Here you are, you harvested wheat, now you're throwing it out in the water. It's like, man, well, that's what they did. Because they had to lighten that ship that they were in so that it could ride the waves, if you would, and rise higher on that water and hopefully be able to make it. So in verse number 39 through verse number 40, they head for the shore. They see a spot where they can land the ship, and then they go there. In verse number 41 through verse number 44, we see that the prisoners' lives are spared. They made it. Read it with me if you would now, beginning at verse 41. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, remember him? Julius? But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. Well, may I say, if I had been one of those prisoners, that I would not have been in that group. Wouldn't have been. I would have. I drowned already. Can't swim. To this day, can't swim. So that wouldn't have been me. I'd be in the next group. Here you go. Verse 44. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. That would have been me. I mean, I'm hanging on to the biggest piece of wood you could find. I mean, they got surfboards back then, see? And so here you go. And so it came to pass that they escaped all, underscore that, all. Hold it, didn't somebody say that no man's life is going to be lost? That's what Paul said. And so now, as the Bible says, so all of them came safely to the land. I mean, when you have time this afternoon, read this whole chapter. I've read it several times throughout this week, and it's so encouraging how you can weather the storm. And Paul literally weathered the storm. But from this, I want to give you four lessons on how to weather the storms of life. Number one, those who trust God fully can weather storms both literally and figuratively. The Bible says in Psalm 46 and verse 1, God is a refuge and a very present help in time of trouble. The Bible says in Psalm 55 and verse number 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. You see, you will encounter storms. You will. But when you trust God fully, you can weather those storms that come your way. You can. You can come out on the other side, though when you're facing it and when you're in it, you wonder, hey, how long is this going to last? And sometimes, am I really going to make it through this? And you come out on the other side, but many times you can come out on the other side rejoicing, knowing that God was your refuge. He was your anchor in that time of storm. Over the years, here at this church, I've had people call me or see me personally and say, Pastor, I'm facing this particular crisis in my life. It was either a health crisis or a financial crisis, sometimes a family situation, marital problem. And my, to see how many of you were able to weather that storm, though no matter how difficult it was for you, no matter how many tears you shed, no matter how many sleepless nights you went through, you were able to come through on the other side and weather that storm because you trusted God to see you when it seemed to be the darkest. Like these prisoners here experiencing 14 days of darkness, not only in the storm, but having it dark all around them. And sometimes when you get into those storms, it will seem like darkness to you. And yet, God is there even in the darkness. He has not left you alone. The second lesson is this. Do not be surprised. There can be unseen perils even when obeying God. Question, church. From this passage of Scripture, just give me a yes or no. Was Paul obeying God? Yes. Here was a man, and actually this, one of the reasons he's even a prisoner, you had to read chapter 24, 25, 26, and you'll find out why. He wanted to go to Rome. He could have been set free if he had, the Bible says, if he hadn't appealed to go to Rome. But that was where he needed to go. And you'll find that he was in the will of God. But the will of God does not mean that you will not suffer some difficulty, some hardship, some storms along the way. Paul here is in the storm, not because he's out of the will of God, but because he's in the will of God. Now, you and I know of someone in the Bible, very familiar prophet in the Old Testament scripture, who was in a storm because he was out of the will of God. You know who I'm talking about? Jonah. And in that storm, because he was running away from the will of God, God got his attention. But Paul, again, was very much in the will of God. And here are these moments of storm that are taking place in his life. I love the statement that Brother Treadway made last week. I've put it in my notes, but I've also put it in my mind. I told Tracy I was going to memorize that quote. But faith makes the impossible possible, but not easy. And that's so true. Sometimes we think, well, I'm just going to move out on faith, and it's just going to be easy and be no difficulty at all. But that's not true. Faith makes the impossible possible, but not easy. There was a young pastor down in Jacksonville, Florida, who had a wife and three little children. One day, there was just a beautiful, beautiful day, blue sky, and the wife decided that she would run an errand, and she took her all of her children with her, and on the way back home, the clouds just popped up everywhere, as quickly can happen in Florida, and just popped up, and the torrential rain had come, and it was so torrential that she had difficulty seeing while driving. She got in an accident, and instantly she and her three little ones were killed. A phone call had come to the young pastor. He heard the news that his wife and three babies had been wiped out. At the funeral, that young pastor laid himself across each of their caskets, grieving, obviously. He never dreamed on that day that started out as a crystal blue sky that it would turn into the biggest storm he ever encountered in his life. Was he out of the will of God? No. He was very much in the will of God, doing the will of God, serving God. But only eternity will reveal why God brought that big storm, if you would, literally into his life. But he was able to weather the storm. When you get into the will of God and obey God and do what he wants you to do, please understand that you will encounter unseen perils even when you decide, I'm going to obey God. I'm going to do what he says for me to do. Truth of the matter is, none of us know what a week will bring forth, right? Many times we'll say we don't know what a day will bring forth, and that's true. But we don't know what's ahead. Last week, your children that are in school never thought, when they started school week off, that they'd get 3 days off. I don't know if they were happy. You probably weren't. Sherry said she was already ready for them to go back to school after day one. But nonetheless, they didn't see that coming. Now, they heard probably, maybe, like we did, some of the weather forecast. And weren't the totals of that snowstorm all over the map? Anywhere between 6 to 12, 12 to 18, 18 to 22. Biggest storm where, you know, I heard one weather forecaster say it's going to be the storm that rivaled the one in 1978. I thought, really? I don't know where you're coming from, but then in 1978 in Michigan, you had 60 below zero on that weather storm. So this was nothing rivaled that. But truth of the matter is, we don't know what this week's going to bring. But he does. He does. Our God does. And we know that for him, he's not caught by surprise what we encounter. But here we find that Paul was not surprised either, because he knew that there was going to come a storm, and yet in it all, God brought him through it. He was obeying God. And when you obey God, I want you to understand, there is joy in serving Jesus. Come on now. There's joy in serving Jesus. Amen? There is. There's joy in serving Jesus. And you can have joy even in the midst of the storms. I was reading this morning in my Bible from the book of Philippians, Brother Glenn, and I was, again, just reminded of the theme of the book of Philippians. It's joy. But where was Paul when he wrote the book? Yeah, right, he was living in a mansion. No, he was in prison. And he writes this statement, and it's been sticking with me all morning long. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Do you find it easy to rejoice when the storms of life come your way? You see, it's one thing when things are good. But when things go south on you, do you still rejoice in the Lord? Here we find that Paul was not surprised because he knew God was in control. The third thing I want you to see in this passage, and that is, even the hardest of men can be impacted by a faithful Christian's life. We watch each other, at least I do. I observe you when you go through trials. Say, why do you do that? Because I want to learn from you. I want to see how your faith holds up. I'm not testing you. God's the one that has brought the test, the challenge in your life. But I learn from people when they go through difficulties. But here's the truth of the matter is, people are watching your life. Tracy and Laura, those men and ladies at your place of work, they're watching you guys. You know that. They're watching to see how well you weather the storms that come your way. Brother Cody with UPS, they're watching your life. Oh, they'll listen to your message, but they'll listen to your message more quickly when they see how you weather the storms that come your way. And that's true. I can't back this up totally with a chapter and verse, but I just got maybe a hunch, and that's all it is, that one day I might see Julius in heaven. Now, the Bible doesn't say that. So I want to be a little bit careful there and be dogmatic on this point. But here was a man from the start who has the oversight of the Apostle Paul as a prisoner. He lets him go visit his friends. He hears Paul talk about, I believe God. Then he gets into chapter 28, and when we see the snake bite, and Paul just shakes it off, it's like, and those people on the island thought, oh, Paul is a god. I just got a feeling that Julius, if he truly was not saved, then he was deeply impacted by the life of this solid Christian man who was in this storm, led through the crisis, followed God all the way through it, got to Rome as God had said would happen. And I believe that Julius was impacted. Remember, according to Philippians chapter 1, where Paul wrote this, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. You read chapter 28, and you will find that Paul had the liberty to be in this prison house, and this Praetorian guard would switch every so many hours, and those men would be there, and they would hear Paul as he would teach and preach the gospel. And again, how many of those men came to know Christ as Savior? I don't know, but I do believe that they had to realize that here was a man who believed God, who knew God, who was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, who was willing to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you see here in this context of Scripture that even the hardest of men can be impacted by a faithful Christian's life. Now, please hear me. At the end of the day, every one of us, as we heard last weekend, are responsible to open up our mouth and give the gospel. But one of the ways that our message preaches loudly is when we go through a storm and unsaved people are watching us to see how we weather that storm. I can't help but think that. Yesterday, Sister Jane was at our men's breakfast, not with us. She was with some other friends there. But I couldn't help but as I saw her sit over there and I saw an empty chair and I thought about one of the men at that table that you and Wayne would have over every Christmas, around that Christmas season. You know who I'm talking about. And try to impact that man with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wayne not only cared about the gospel, he tried to live that out. And when he got the news of that cancer and when he went through all of that and how he had told me, I want to represent Jesus well through all of this, I got to believe that when his funeral service occurred here at this church, that there were people in that service who he impacted. I'm not saying they got saved, but he impacted because he believed the gospel of Jesus Christ. He believed Jesus Christ. He tried to live Jesus Christ. His life impacted even the hardest of men. When you weather storms, please understand, you may think nobody else is watching. Yes, they are. They're watching. And when you go through it, keep that in mind. Represent Jesus well in the storm. And here's the last point. God always keeps his word in his time and in his way. Look again at verse 24 of chapter 27. Saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." What was the word from God? Don't be afraid, Paul. You're going to be brought before Caesar. And he was. Now, I'm sure if Paul were to sit down and try to map this trip out himself, this would not have been the way he designed it. But he knew, ultimately, that God was in control of his life, and so he yielded to the purposes and ways of God. And in so doing, he realized that God said this, God in his time brought me before Caesar. God in his way brought me before Caesar. Yes, it seemed like, from all human perspective, we all should have died out there at sea, but we didn't. Because God keeps his word in his time and in his way. Listen to this verse. "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." That is God's promise, that his word will never return void. I think about a missionary of yesteryear by the name of Wycliffe. For 7 years, not seeing anybody saved. Not even so much as a church started. But he labored on. God used him on that mission field. And he, and along with William Carey, are known as the father of modern missions. But those men simply had faith in God, who made the impossible possible, but the way for them was not easy. They had to weather storms, and so will you. The songwriter wrote, till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky, hold me fast. Let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Is there some storm today that's blowing in your life, causing you to think you're not going to make it? I want to ask you this. Is Jesus on board your ship? If he is, say amen. If he isn't, today, turn to Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. With Christ in the vessel, I can smile at the storm. Amen? Amen. Father, help us now today. We're either come out of a storm, or we're in a storm, or we're going to be heading for a storm, we know not when. But reality of life is that we will face them. As the Apostle Paul teaches us to have confidence and faith in you, regardless of the winds that are blowing, regardless of the storms that are brewing around us, you will bring us through. And how I praise you for that. Father, for those this morning that needed this particular message, because they are in a storm. It might be a family storm, it might be financial, it might be health, it might be marital, or some other storm. Whatever it may be, Father, help them to anchor fast to you. Help them to realize that you will hold them in the hollow of your hand through the storm, that they can make it through on the other side. Teach them what they need to learn while they're in the storm. And Father, how I pray today that there's one that does not have Jesus in their life, that Jesus is not on board their ship of life. May they cry out today and say, Lord, save me. Come into my life and be my Savior. May that transformation take place in their life today. In Jesus' name. Now with their heads bowed. Would it be some here this morning that say, Pastor, I needed this message this morning. In my life, I'm going through some storms. You know what they are. God knows what they are. But I need this message, and I would that you would remember me in prayer, that my faith would grow exceedingly during this time, and that God would, that I would just trust God to bring me safely through, even when my faith is weak. Remember me in prayer this morning, Pastor. This is my need. That's you. Would you raise your hand, drop your hat? Anybody? Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Are there others this morning? God's dealing in your heart. Anyone else? So I ask you this question. Is Jesus on board the ship of your life? Is Jesus your Savior? I know many of you can say amen to that. But it may be that there might be somebody in this congregation this morning who would say, Pastor, Jesus is not on board the ship of my life. I don't know Christ as my Savior. But I realize I need to come to know Him as my Savior today. And I would that you remember me in prayer, that I would trust the Lord Jesus Christ alone to save my soul and to forgive me of my sin. If that's your need this morning, would you lift your hand, drop your hand, and say, Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. If that's your need, would you raise your hand, drop right where you are at? Anybody at all while we wait? And now, Father, help people now. Strengthen them. Help them to cast all of their care upon you. Help them not to leave here this morning with all of the weight of their storm they're going through. Help them today to cast it on you doesn't mean the problem goes away, but the weight of it. You have said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Help them today, right now, during this invitation time, to come and cast that on you and leave it there with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together as Sherry begins to play through right now. God, dealing in your heart, you respond this morning. You're going through some storms in your life. Come and just take some time and kneel here and take some time and pray. Cast that upon the Lord. He's never designed for you to carry that big old storm by yourself. He wants you to cast it on Him. The weight of that, cast it on Him today. Come and I'll be glad to pray. If you want to pray by yourself, that's fine. But won't you come? I surrender all. I surrender all. Surrender today. Bible says, cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. In sunshine or shadow, He cares for you. Today, won't you respond? Look this way if you would. There's yet a decision in your life that you need to make, and I can help you. Please feel free to stop me before you leave. Be glad to pray with you about it. I'm so glad we have a God whose shoulders are big enough to carry anything we have, right? What a great God He is. I'm so thankful for that this morning.